Praise the Lord, man. What an awesome, awesome time already in the presence of God. Can we just celebrate this amazing worship team that God has given us? Aren't they amazing? What God's doing through them. We could have just stayed there all morning, but you're having a worship night, Good Friday, so I guess you're going to save that. And it was so good. I told Haley, I said, man, I don't really want to talk. We could just keep worshiping. So we're going to keep that tone throughout the rest of the service. If I haven't got to meet you, my name's Zach. I'm a friend to Pastor Will and Melissa, and I'm just honored to get to be here with you this morning and minister the heart of God. The Lord told me today is about us getting a deeper revelation of what it means for Jesus, who is the Christ, to be our firm foundation. And I'm so excited about what Jesus wants to do in the room. If you came for any other reason except the Lord Jesus, you've got a chance to be disappointed. But if you came for Jesus, oh man, you won't be disappointed. The Word of God tells us that where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is also in the midst of us. And the Word of God also tells us that Jesus is enthroned on the praises of His people. And I don't know if anybody's told you this or not, but the whole point of church is Jesus. Jesus is the reason for everything. Here at Victory Life, our mission is very simple. We exist to see people transformed by Jesus. So the expectation in our hearts as leaders is anytime we're assembled in the name of Jesus, sitting under the word of Jesus, worshiping and lifting up the name of Jesus, how many of you know that transformation is possible? Transformation is always accompanied by a touch from the Lord. Jesus's touch is what brings transformation in our lives. How many of you know the places in your heart and the places in your life that have the highest traffic of the fingerprints of Jesus are the places in your life that you're experiencing the deepest level of transformation? Any area of your life that has more of your fingerprints on it than Jesus's fingerprints on it, how many of you know you're getting the results you've always got? But any area of your life, listen to me, any area of your life that has the fingerprints of Jesus all over it, you're getting Jesus's results in those areas of your life. We're in the midst of difficult times at this campus, of course. But zooming out, let me tell you, we're in difficult times all over the world. And the beauty of Jesus as our firm foundation is literally something that can't be over-communicated. The simplicity of all of our hope, all of our joy. The simplicity that everything pertaining to life and godliness. The simple truth that Paul releases to the Corinthian church, that he or she that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. And I would tell you, if there was ever a time to make sure that you're totally joined to Jesus, today would be the day. Now would be the time. My only objective this morning is that together we would partner with each other in the Spirit of the Lord, to just carve out a place and time for Jesus to do what He does best, which is to bring transformation. I don't know your story. I don't know your background. I don't know what area of your heart needs a touch from the Lord. And it's funny, as a pastor, I get asked questions like, you know, theological questions. You know, Pastor Will, we get asked theological questions sometimes like, well, is it once saved, always saved? Should I be baptized in the Holy Spirit and water? What's the difference between those things? Good questions. And I'm just at a place in my life with the Lord that I can tell you this. I need Jesus every day. Last time I answered that question, I said, man, if you're really struggling with once saved or always saved, let me just invite you, do what I do. Get born again every morning. If you're struggling with Man, I was baptized in the Spirit at 15 in that Pentecostal church, and I spoke in tongues once, and I never have since. Just do what I do. Ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit every day. Jesus is daily bread. Jesus is the bread of life. There is not an hour, there is not a minute in our day that we need to be apart from that blessed assurance of His presence and His power in our lives. The church ultimately is led and called to be fitly joined together with the head of the church, who's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that alignment, and it's in that place of unity with His presence and His Spirit that the rest of us, as members of His body, are assembled together. And when we come together, there's a power and what I call a corporate anointing, a experience of what the Scriptures tell us, that where there's unity, there's a commanded blessing. How many of you know you can't have unity privately? You can only have unity together, joined with other believers. And there's something that has to be leveraged. I can praise God alone in my car, and that's a beautiful thing, especially because I don't have to worry about if I'm in tune or not. Not on a microphone. But there's another dimension of the presence of God. There's another dimension of His glory and His goodness whenever we do the things that we do in private, in public together. And vice versa is also true. I would submit to you this morning that the place where the rubber meets the road concerning transformation, listen to me, is whenever church habits become home habits. And whenever home habits are an extension of your church habits. I'm so blown away by what God's doing in Victory Life. I know the Spirit of God is well at work in this campus. My relationship with Pastor Will and hearing the reports of testimony and breakthrough and everything that God's doing here is incredible. The things that are happening here cannot be done without the Spirit of God. And I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of churches where things get done without the Spirit of God. But not at Victory Life, amen? The Spirit of God is well at work. But I've been privileged and honored to get to walk out this difficult season with this beautiful family and to see the strength that comes from living life with people who what they do here is just an extension of what they do at home. How many of you know that really is the qualifier on if Jesus is your firm foundation or your church foundation? Let's look at the Word of God together this morning as Haley keeps us under the anointing. I've come to find that it's the keyboard behind you that keeps the anointing in the room. Amen? It's true. I'm telling you. Let's look at this Matthew chapter 7 together today. I want to read this to you in the New Living, and then if we want to, I think I sent you guys the message translation as well. It's actually not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but I don't want to be teachy this morning. I just want to be a little bit more preachy, so let me get out of that zone. Matthew chapter 7, look at me here. This is a familiar passage, should be. These are the final words to Jesus's most well-known sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And you could literally spend the entirety of your Christian life just being in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7, actually 5 through 7, those two chapters. But I want to look at the final words of Jesus here. We'll read them in the New Living, and then we'll read them in the Message. I think the Message is going to be on the screen. Let me read the New Living first. Matthew 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock." Everybody say solid rock. "Though the rain comes," did you notice it doesn't say if the rain comes? It says though the rain comes. Another way to say it is when the rain comes. There's this beautiful tension in our walk as believers, especially Spirit-filled believers, and that Jesus promises us for those that believe. We lay hands on the sick and we see them recover. We speak in new tongues. We cast out devils. But there's some other promises that Jesus gives that I haven't seen on anybody's refrigerator at home. And Hobby Lobby doesn't make this sign. They don't. I've looked for it. But Jesus said, in this life, you will have, let me give you the Zach version, problems. You will face tribulations. You will suffer persecutions. And there's this beautiful tension as we walk in the Lord between what it means to have power to overcome and what it means to have power to come by enduring. Minister I Love says it this way, faith gets results, but faith with endurance gets you results and character. God never causes the bad, beloved. Listen to me. The scriptures are clear. James tells us that our Father is the Father of lights, in whom every good and perfect gift comes from. And there's no change or deviation. He's not this shifting shadow. He causes good. But let me be honest with you this morning. God never causes the bad, but he will get the mileage out of it. Because God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Let me help you with something. God doesn't just cause all things to work together for good for everybody. He causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. If you've made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus, I've got good news for you. You've been called according to his purpose, because his purpose is for you to experience the transformation that comes from looking more like Jesus each day. And if you love him for that, then here's the beautiful promise that no matter what you face in life, God will redeem value from it. That's the beautiful reality. But the question of if that's showing up as a firm foundation in our life, if the words of Jesus are showing up as a firm foundation in our life, the test is always not if the rain comes, but when the rain comes. New Living Again. Though the rain comes in torrents, notice Jesus didn't say, when it sprinkles. Man, I would love that word. When there's a light drizzle. Man. Anybody in here really followed the Lord? Now, let me ask it this way. And just so you know, Holy Spirit has permission to interrupt me anytime I teach. So by the end, this will make more sense than it does now. But I have figured this out, that, you know, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, that has to, the implication of that is, I have to not know where I'm going. Because followers don't know where they go. They're following. If you want to take me someplace in town that I've never been, and I haven't been here a whole lot, so there's a good chance that you could take me someplace I've never been, the only way I'm going to get there is if I follow you. Do you know there's no responsibility on my part to know where I'm going if you know where you're going? So I ask the question, has there anybody in here that's actually followed the Lord? Because within the church, especially in the West, let me be honest with you, somebody should write a book about it, we have more fans than we have followers. Oh, Jesus fans, they know how to dress. They buy the signs at Hobby Lobby, they buy the jersey. In church, they raise their hands and they scream, go Jesus, go Jesus, go Jesus. Fans, okay, are not the same thing as followers. Jesus never called anybody to be a fan of the kingdom of God. He didn't call anybody to be a subscriber to his YouTube channel. He didn't call anybody to be a fanboy or a fangirl of him. He called followers. Followers give up their right to know what they're doing and where they're going. Let me describe something to you from the standpoint of a follower. By the way, we're testing how firm our foundation is this morning. Let me just get to the chase. However deep your level of surrender to following Jesus will determine the depth of your foundation in Jesus. Man, everybody loves Jesus when there's bread in the house. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus multiplying the food. The crowds came. Oh, did they come? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands. They loved his hand when it was outstretched to perform the miracles, with the blind eyes opening and the deaf hearing and the lame walking. Oh man, did they flock to Jesus. And then Jesus does this thing. It's so like Jesus, Pastor Will, to do what he does. One day, when he's got the best crowd he's ever got, he goes ahead and tells them the truth about everything. That's a real preacher, by the way. Best crowd he's ever got. Best attendance. They had to bring in extra chairs that morning. And they were prepped for the miracles at the front of the room. Jesus has just multiplied food. And he looks out over the crowd and he decides to do a Jesus thing and to be controversial. Man, Jesus really could use some like sermon etiquette, couldn't he? He really needs some coaching from some master sermon writers of our time. He needs to spend some time with, well, I won't name any names, but Jesus looks out over the crowd that's just full of miracle food, supernatural food done by his hand. And he essentially says this, that's not the meal I am. Okay, we'll just let that hang out for a minute. Haley, just be ready to soften, okay, with that keyboard. Jesus looks out over the crowd and he says this. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. The best preaching happens when there's no applause. Remember that. The best preaching is when there's no applause. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me, and I'm not in you. While the miracle's in their hands, Jesus says, there's something deeper than the miracle. There's the miracle maker. When the food's multiplied in front of you, don't forget, that's not the meal. I am. This is an amazing thing that happens. Pastor Will, that day, with that message, they added 5,000 more members to the church. No. That day, listen, the crowds left. You know why? Because it's only fans that are in the crowds. The crowds left. Comma. You can go back and read it. You don't know where it's at? Google it. That's not my job. You had Pastor Jacobs, a Bible scholar. He was here last week. That's not me, okay? You Google it. You find your own scripture. The crowds left, comma, even some of his disciples. How firm's the foundation? The fans and even a little swath of the disciples are all for what Jesus has in his hand. But I love Peter's response. It's been the prayer of my heart for quite some time now. Jesus, I want to be so deep in following you that if you're crazy, I'm crazy too. Jesus, I want to be so deep in following you that I have Peter's prayer, Peter's words on my lips. Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, are you going to go too? How many of you know Jesus is so gracious? Because following is never compulsory. Following is always voluntary. The devil leads by pushing. We could have an object lesson, but I feel very graceful today. I don't want to push anybody. On the drive here, I wanted to push somebody. But right now, I don't want to push anybody. But if I had somebody standing here, and I stood behind them, and I just shoved them in the back because I wanted them to go to that door, how many know that's a semi-effective way to get people to go the direction I want them to go? But I'll tell you this, the devil always pushes. Jesus leads like this. Follow me. It's always an invitation. It's always an opportunity to say yes. Jesus never pushes. Jesus always invites. He always calls you to himself. Follow me, not your understanding. Follow me, not your theology. Follow me. See, those even deep in the theological wisdom of the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they looked at the Word of God made flesh, people that literally had memorized entire segments of our Bible, memorized books of the law, knew them frontwards and backwards, could not recognize the Word of God in the flesh. Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think it's in them that you have eternal life. But they are them that testify of me, and you won't come to me so that you can have life. Jesus leads by invitation. Jesus leads by extending an invitation. And it's our choice to follow. So Jesus is there after the miracle meal. Seats packed, stadium full. And Jesus says, here's the reality. I'm the only thing that matters. Unless I'm in you and you're in me, unless my flesh has become daily food for you, until you have come to see that those that seek to save their life will lose it, but those that lose their life for my sake and for the gospel's, they will find it. Jesus is giving an invitation to say, your foundation has got to be deeper than the miracle meal. Your foundation has got to be deeper than prayers getting answered the way that you want them all the time. Jesus says your foundation has got to be deeper than your expectation. Your foundation has to be deeper than your opinion. Your foundation has to be deeper than your understanding of this. Jesus turns to his 12 and he says, are you going to leave also? Because the door is wide open. Jesus doesn't hang on to anybody. It's our job to cling to him. Jesus says, you're free to go to the 12. Man, talk about lesson in church leadership. You're free. The best group of people to lead are free people. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus says, you're free to go too. Peter's response. Oh, would it be the response of the church in this hour? Oh my gosh, would it be the response of all of our hearts today to examine and to look at our life, at our foundation, and to say, do we have this response in our heart? And if we don't, man, that's where I need the fingerprints of Jesus today. Jesus says, where else would we go, Lord? You alone have the words of life, or the words that lead to eternal life. I believe that there is a work of revival that God wants to do in the American church. But I believe that it's on the heels of something else. Two other R words. Reformation and repentance. There will be no revival. Personally, corporately, nationally, without repentance and reformation. Repentance means to change the way that you think. Reformation means that something needs to be reformed, reforged. Peter says, where else would we go, Lord? You alone have the words that lead to life. Jesus released some news that they did not expect. Jesus said some things that were so controversial that thousands of people left. And it wasn't even a long sermon. It was a statement. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, I don't have any part of you. Just a statement. And thousands of people left. Man, what an anointing. I need that anointing in my life. thousands of people left. Jesus broke every church growth conference rule. Good Lord, have I been to the church growth conferences? But he ended up with 12, and one was a bad egg. He ended up with 11 that literally the tag on their life was in the book of Acts, are these the men that have turned the world upside down? The depth of your foundation, listen, will determine the depth of your transformation. But listen to me, it will also determine the capacity that you have to bring transformation everywhere that you go. Peter said, where else would we go, Lord? I mean, I need Peter's prayer in my heart today. To look at Jesus and say, I'm in too deep. I don't know about you, but when it comes to Jesus, I'm in too deep. I sold the farm, bet the house, did it all. I don't have anything. I don't know anything else. I don't have transferable skills. I was thinking about this one day. It's like, what if I didn't do what I do? I don't know. I think I'd just start doing it somewhere else. My house, the corner. I don't know. Peter said, where else are we going to go? He essentially looks at Jesus and says, if you're crazy, it's too late. We're already in this thing. We are so deep in you, we don't know anything else. In the words of the saint of old, it says, whether prosperity smiles or adversity frowns, let your praise, O Lord, ever be found in my mouth. And there's something about the power of praise and prayer that's rooted in this deep foundation within the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish this passage. Matthew 7. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. In the New Living, the title of this little section is Building on a Solid Foundation. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. I want to show you through what God dropped in my heart this morning as Haley was ministering in the pre-service. I want to talk about this foundation, Jesus being our firm foundation. Ultimately, the depth of your foundation in the Lord will be determined by the level of your surrender in following the Lord. And that stability comes from our surrender. You can't get to freedom and you can't get to stability without surrender. There is no other way. For those of us that are addicted to controlling everything, let's talk about the current state of your insides. We don't get to control outcomes. To be honest with you, we don't get to control anything except the yieldedness of our will to the lordship of the Lord Jesus. The only thing that we truly get to control is the resolve of our following, chasing hard after Him. The depth of our foundation in God is ultimately determined by the depth of our surrender to God, especially in the moments and times where things do not make sense. Acts chapter 16. This should be another familiar passage. If not, you need to read your Bible more. Amen. Acts 16. Let's look at verse 16. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us. shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated, read now the New Living, that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They're teaching the customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed around Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. How many of you believe that following the teaching of Jesus, making Jesus a firm foundation in Paul and Silas's life, obeying what God had given them to do, to preach the word of the Lord, to cast out devils, to testify in his name, how many of you know that a direct result of that was them experiencing some wind and some rain? Okay. Being beat severely with wooden rods, I think we can classify as storm-like weather. Yes? Okay. A mob quickly formed against them. They were stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake. Listen, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. I would like to submit to you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that when you make Christ your firm foundation, when you allow Christ to be your firm foundation, and when you experience the rains and the winds and the difficulties of life, but Christ is your firm foundation. Listen to me. There is a type of praise and there's a type of prayer that can be released from your life that shakes the foundation of the enemy's camp. Because Paul and Silas had made a decision to make Jesus their firm foundation. How many of you just heard me say that the foundations to the prison were shaken? When Christ becomes your firm foundation, your foundation doesn't shake. The plans and purposes of the enemy shakes. When Christ becomes your firm foundation, your pain, your difficulty, the things that all of us in life are not immune from, no matter our level of anointing, no matter our level of prominence, no matter our level of yieldness, all of us will face difficulty in this life. But when Christ is your firm foundation, I'll tell you what's unshakable on the inside of you, your prayer and your praise. And your prayer and your praise become the sound that shake the foundation to prisons. And listen to me, the word of God says, in the midnight hour, when prayer and praise were released from Paul and Silas, every chain of every prisoner was broken and every door was open wide. I'm here to submit something to you today. Have an ear to hear. Open the ears of your heart. Yield yourself to Jesus in this moment. Prayer and praise is a strength that's on the inside of all of us that have made Christ our firm foundation. But in the midst of the pressings of life, in the midst of trial and tragedy and pain, something happens to the frequency. Something happens to the frequency of the sound of our prayer and our praise. Something pressurizes in the midst of suffering. When praise and prayer are released in the midst of difficulty, there's a frequency that is released that breaks chains in the lives of others, opens wide jail cells in the lives of others, and shakes the foundation of the prisons that many are encamped in and sentenced to. Listen to me, beloved. I heard clearly in my heart this morning as we were praying over the services today, this campus is called to be a house of prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. And there's a depth to the foundation here that if you will make a decision to do as the Apostle Paul said, from the people that are leading you, that are telling you, follow me as I follow Jesus. You don't know what to do? Follow me as I follow Jesus. I prophesy and I pray over every single one of our campuses, over every place that God would increase the tent of Victory Life Church, that there would be leaders that would rise up with a confidence and a boldness to say, my foundation is firm, my foundation in the Lord is deep, and you can follow me as I follow Jesus. Even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of wind and rain and torrents of wind, you can follow Jesus and we can follow each other and we can move into a place that our sound shifts supernaturally into a frequency that breaks chains, that opens prison cells, and that causes a sound to be released into the earth today. I'm here to tell you that there's a resolve in this house. There's a resolve within the leaders of this house. There's a resolve in the hearts of Victory Life Church in this community that says the devil cannot steal the prayer and praise of God's people. What do you do in the midst of pain? What do you do in the midst of uncertainty? What do you do in the midst of problems? You let a Peter prayer rise up on the inside of you and say, Lord, this was not in the plan. I did not expect this. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what you're individually experiencing. But I can tell you this, it might not be in your plan, but I can tell you, you can plan if you lean into the Lord Jesus in a deep way for your foundation to deepen in Him as you trust in Him, as you commit your life to Him. Let a Peter prayer, Father, let it rise in the house this morning. A Peter's declaration that says, where else would we go, Lord? You and you alone have the words that lead to life. Father, my prayer today is bold. My confession is sure. Shift the frequency of the sound of this house. Every captive that's bound, every chain of hopelessness, every prison cell of discouragement and despair. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today that as we make a decision to praise, to pray, to prophesy, we hear in the name of Jesus the breaking of chains to be the accompaniment to the cymbals and the keys and the voices and the guitars. We say the chains of addiction over this region, God. We say the chains of poverty. We say the chains, Father, of depression, of discouragement. God, we are able to speak out, not because of our strength, but because the strong tower, the God of Israel, that neither sleeps nor slumbers, is alive in your people. And this life that we live by faith in the Son of God that's given His life for us. So over this campus, over this city, we say, not by power, because our power is small, not by might, because we are weak and we are hurting, God, but by your Spirit, your grace is all sufficient in the midst of our weaknesses, God, because where we are weak, oh God Almighty, you are strong. Strong God, be alive in this house, we pray. You lift up your sound. You take exactly where you are. You begin to pray in the spirit, in the understanding, however the Lord leads you. Right in the middle, say, today's a day that my foundation is deepening in the Lord Jesus Christ. My foundation is deepening in the Lord Jesus Christ today. What's the response to the pain and the tragedy in the world? What's the response to the difficulty that you're experiencing right now? Our response this morning is clear. We will pray and we will praise. I prophesy a midnight hour song to rise up in this house. I prophesy God's songs being written in this hour in the midst of pain that leads to innumerable breakthrough for people. I thank you for a fresh anointing, God. I thank you for a fresh grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for moving. Begin to lift up your voice. Begin to lift up your voice. People of God, you deepen your foundation by your response to the truth of Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, are you going to go too? Peter didn't just nod and act spiritual. He said in desperation, where else would I go, Lord? You and you alone have the words of life. My father and mother might forsake me, but the Lord will take me in. Blessed, the Lord says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart. Hearken to his word today. You came today to let the nail-scarred hands of Calvary dig out a deeper footing for your foundation. Yield to the Lord. Yield to his grace. What area of your life needs the fresh touch of Jesus? If you're here today and you know that you need that fresh touch in your life, you know that today's the day that your foundation gets deeper. Today's the day that you build your house on the rock with a deeper tenacity, with a deeper resolve. I'm going to encourage you right now, just come to the front if that's you. Just make your way. If today's your day, I need to see this deepened in my life. I need Peter's prayer to come out of the inside of me today. Where else could we go, Lord? I've been dealt a hard blow. This wasn't in my plan. Respond to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Believe. Believe only. Trust only. I'm going to ask the band to minister to us again. And I want you to come. I want you to come close. I want to agree with you in the manner of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I long to be with you so that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. I felt that so heavy on my heart this morning to impart a spiritual gift here as a fellow co-laborer in the Lord. I want you to come. I want you to lean in. Today's your day. Today is a decision to be made. Am I going to say, no matter the darkness, you, Jesus, are deeper still? No matter how deep the darkness, oh God, no matter how deep the darkness, you are deeper still. To confess the words of the psalmist today, even darkness is as light to you. Corra batariando robo sorra basse kerie terio romoso robo corro bombara yege. Kanda rabasi kirie koshta shantarie kimba ro romo soto. Marra makaye leye corra basse teriato romoso. My soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. We will be still and know. We will be still and know that our God is the Lord. That He is our strong tower. That He is our firm foundation. We will kiss the sun. We will fall upon the rock that the builders rejected, that has become the cornerstone. Jesus, we pour ourselves out to you. Lift up your sound. Lift up your prayer. Today's a day to deepen the foundation. Deepen the foundation. Speak out. Declare over your situation. Declare over your family. Declare over your heart. Pray whatever rises up on the inside of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. We'll praise you, God. We'll praise you, God.